Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, welcome back to the FPL Winners Show. Today we're back after a one-week break. Happy to see you, Johnny. How you been?
I'm very well, mate. Yeah, we had the international break and we decided last Sunday not to stream because, one, it was the international break. We didn't have much in terms of an update. But two, you were off on your travels with your day job and you're in Dubai, right? I hear you bumped into a familiar face, a pretty damn good FPL asset this weekend as well, he was.
Yeah, I had a little encounter with Harvey Barnes and I shared the picture with him. I could almost say a good thing about him because he's a nice guy, really, really genuine bloke. And I enjoyed the little chat. So, and I said he should be aiming for an England squad because he's got that potential. So yeah. Looks like he, with a brace, he reacted immediately. I was really happy to see him score two yesterday. So
you bump into Harvey Barnes in Dubai, you have a good chat, he braces his best haul of the season only days after meeting a former FPL winner, mate. There's something in that. I realised I'm on a different camera. So I'm looking at my actual camera, realising, no, I'm on that camera. So hello, team. And by the way, if you're listening on podcast, yeah, shout out to all those that listen on their Monday morning and stuff. So going back to Harvey Barnes, Ali, my big question for you is, did you tell him you are an FPL champ and beat 11 million managers last year to win the thing? Did he get it?
Yeah, I told him about it, but I asked him if he played FPL. He said not this season. He played last year, but quit quickly. But I don't think he realized that I won the whole thing. Maybe he thought I won the mini league or something. But still, his reaction was, it was a good chat with him. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, he probably was like, oh, you won a work league. Well done, yeah. A mini league. And it's like, yeah. But I think he plays, doesn't he? But a lot of the old Leicester guys plays. I know Madison is quite big on FPL. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, interesting. Well, good stuff. Let's look at the weekend just gone or the Saturday just gone. We won't do too much in terms of previewing Sunday fixtures because so many will be listening, watching this after the Sunday game, of which, by the way, I'm so excited for Super Sunday. We've got Liverpool in action. But, of course, Man City Arsenal, and it feels like it's going to be pretty swingy because there's a lot of good engaged managers that do own Haaland and don't own Haaland, that do own Foden, that don't own Foden, that do own Salah this week, that don't own Salah this week. And because of that, that have benched Saka, that haven't benched Saka. Because of that, we're going to see quite a swingy Sunday, which is great, and FPL needs that. Ali, let's start, though, by looking at yesterday's games before we look ahead. How did you get on? You've captained Salah, haven't you? So you must have been pleased with the Son and Palmer hauls, but you must have been looking at them for captaincy and now gone, I really need Salah to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. The obvious captaincy options were Palmer, Son and Salah for those who had him. I don't think Haaland is popular just because of the Arsenal defense. Not a lot of people. We expect him to score, but when picking a captain, we're aiming for that double-digit haul potentially. So I'm not sure if Haaland is a popular captaincy pick, but a lot of people were discussing between Palmer, Salah, and Son. So Son and Palmer delivered. I mean, I'm delighted for those who went Palmer because 15, like he's just an FPL gold this season. It's yeah. such a value. I think there's a conversation to be had about one of the greatest value assets in the game of all time. So he started at 4.5 or I believe at 4.5, yes. And his numbers this season is just crazy. So yesterday's game were a lot of goals, just one clean sheet from Aston Villa. And I think it was a lucky one because Wolves had tons of chances there.
Mm.
Looking at my team, just another bad game week, I believe, plus not having any of the City assets. I'm really hoping my Arsenal boys will limit City assets. So I'll just go over my team first and then we'll, maybe go over the games because there's a lot to discuss. The Newcastle game, Chelsea Burnley, Spurs Luton and Aston Villa, as well as Manchester United. So there's a lot of good games played yesterday. I'll just go over my team with, my team is fairly differential. With Dubravka in goal, I have Alex Moreno with 6 points with the only clean sheet in my defense. Pedro Porro didn't do much. Gusto, that was my transfer in with a -4. I brought in Salah and captained him. So Madison, Palmer with 15 points. Saka is yet to play. And Son with the 10-pointer there. Tony was unlucky to, result.
So just, unlucky. Yeah. He was right. I mean, he had everything, didn't he? But the haul. I know he got an assist, and you must have been happy to get an assist, Ali. But post goals disallowed, like he is a class FPL asset, isn't he?
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's been poor recently, but this game was really, really. I didn't watch the game. I watched the highlights, but
same.
He should have really scored a lot more. Watkins off at halftime.
Hit the post before he went off.
Yeah, I think I'll be. Probably ditching him next game week. But this is how my team looks. And I'm all over the place with my planning because I have free hits and wild card and bench boost chips still yet to play. So yeah. I'll be deciding and trying to plan ahead with double game weeks, 34 and 37.
If I had them all like you, Ali, I think I would be going, and you've got a couple of Chelsea and you've got 3 Spurs already. So game week 34 for you doesn't look great because there's no Spurs and Chelsea have a hard fixture. So I think you can just play a bit different to most. Most are now selling their Spurs players because in 34, they're looking to get loads of doublers out. Yet you could free hit in 34. So for me, if I was you, I'd be looking at a free hit 34, wildcard 35 or 6, bench boost 37.
It's a good option. I like to. I was considering maybe wildcarding in the next couple of game weeks and then still using. I don't like the bench boost chip because as long as you have the core 11, best for you, I think you can. 15 to 20 points on your bench is not that much of a difference and. This season, especially, I'm not sure how bench boost is effective. Maybe free hit is more of a value this time around, but I'm not sure how bench boost will be affecting. So I don't mind wildcarding earlier just to cover a lot of fixtures because my team is not in a good place at the moment with no City assets and I don't have an easy route back to Haaland. And he, I think he will have... Aston Villa at home next game week is a fairly rough fixture, I would say, but it's not. It's City at home, and I think I'm not sure with the Champions League games how rotation will affect those who are involved in there, like Arsenal and City. But yeah. I think it's something to be considered.
Yeah, no, I like that. I guess for many, will go into game week 31, like me. With a plan of how to get Salah. And the big question for them will be, how do they get him in? And many will be taking hits. At least you are up on that move. Like, you've got him in place already. So you go into 31 with a slightly different approach, which is great. I mean, Ali, I just want to talk to you about Arsenal, because you're wearing the Arsenal shirt. They're your team. I know they play later today, but without looking at the Man City game per se, let's just look at the Luton game on Wednesday or whenever it is. You've got one Arsenal player in your team. Okay, you've got Gabriel. And Saka. You've got two. So we've got the same two. I'm looking at it going, can I differentiate from the crowd? Because this is the time of the season where I want to differentiate from the crowd. Like, my team is very template-y. A little bit too template for my liking, I should say. So players like Havertz and Odegaard, I think now should be really considered, especially when the entry point is Luton at home. What do you think to that? Like, taking a punt and selling, say, a Son, who I know Son is brilliant, but he doesn't play in 34. And if you're not using a chip in 34 like me, selling a player like Son to a Havertz or an Odegaard, is that mental or should it be considered?
Not at all. It should be considered, because there's another conversation we're having. We cannot fit Haaland, Son and Salah in our team, in most of our teams.
Yeah.
So selling Son is an option not only for getting Arsenal assets, but only trying to be able to afford Salah as well. So I would suggest selling Son if you're struggling with budget to get Salah. So I think a lot of people will be going there, because the beginning of the season, Spurs were really, really impressive, and they were scoring for fun. But in the last three or four games, they've conceded first and they came back in a game, which is not going to happen against tough oppositions. So Luton game yesterday was, they've created chances, but with so many assets in the attack for Spurs, I think Son, his ceiling is still up there, but most of the points will be, fairly distributed around the front three. Richarlison is back after injury. So if you're looking at Arsenal players, I think a lot of people will be moving. They have a couple of good game weeks after City. And I think Odegaard is good for minutes. He will be starting every single game despite the Champions League involvement. I think he's got that fitness within him that he's really, really pushing late in the games. He's still, like, if you're watching Arsenal games late in an extra time, like, he's still trying to press, and he looks like he just come on off the bench. So yeah. Fitness wise and the minutes, x minutes wise, I think if you prefer nail the own player, I think Odegaard is a great option. If you're expecting an occasional benching, I think Havertz, but really looking for a good attacking potential, scoring, goal scoring potential, not just assists. I think with Odegaard, he likes to shoot, but he's more of an assist threat in this Arsenal team. But
I can't get over that assist in the Champions League against Porto. It was just amazing. It was like watching peak. I do see similarities between Odegaard and De Bruyne. I know they play the game slightly differently, and De Bruyne's a bit more of a carrier with the ball, but that sort of vision is only seen by a handful of players in the entire league, isn't it? And Odegaard has that vision.
Yeah, Odegaard has that vision. He's more of an elegant player. I would describe KDB as more of a explosive. He's dynamic, he's explosive, his shot is amazing. I cannot compare them both. I think KDB is much ahead with the titles he's won during this career, but I think everything is ahead of Odegaard still. He's yet to have his best years. So with Havertz, I think is a good differential, very, very good differential, but you're not sure whether he will be playing in midfield instead of Xhaka role of last year, or maybe he'll be playing a false nine instead of Jesus, because Jesus is back playing again. So there is uncertainty in a front three of Arsenal. When you look at Martinelli, when you look at Trossard, they're all good for, when they play, they're all good. But that's the question, if they play. So whether they play or not, they will be coming off early, the likes of Martinelli, Havertz, Trossard. So it's a 60 to 30 minutes man when they're starting and coming off the pitch.
Yeah, definitely one I'm a little unsure about. Let's have a look at my team then, Ali, because we've seen your... I mean, I think your team looks brilliant, by the way. I don't think it looks anywhere near a wild card. And I know you're not having the ranks this year and the gains this year. But as always, I know you'll play your chip strategy and week to week, and you'll be reactionary and you'll be a little bit different from the crowd, which is exciting. And especially at your rank, you can. Ali, for those that aren't familiar, won FPL last year, completely playing his own game. I'm a little bit different. I need to play with, perhaps you could argue, a little bit more caution. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, my rank's good, but not amazing at 66K. I'm looking at it going, I want to be a little bit different. And many this week, to get Salah, will be compromising or selling. To get Salah, they'll need to sell either a Son or a Watkins, one way or another, and a 4-point hit. And I'm presented with the exact same dilemma, Ali. The problem is, many will say, look, sell Watkins because he's injured. And we don't know how long he's out for. It's a hamstring issue, but we don't know if it's a complete pull or just a little tweak. So I don't let's assume Watkins doesn't play against Man City. But after that is Brentford at home, his former club. And I've got 8 good attackers, Ali. So I was planning this week on benching Watkins anyway. If I won't go De Bruyne to Salah, I would go, say, Son down to Havertz, and then I can bench Watkins. If I keep Son in my team and I sacrifice Watkins, whoever I sacrifice him for is probably going to be on my bench anyway. So the question comes down to, do I want to go an Arsenal midfielder or Son? Now, sure, for the next couple of weeks, I prefer Son. But I know come game week 34, Son doesn't have a game and Arsenal have 2 games. That's 2 extra fixtures over the next 4 game weeks. So it's and I have to sell one of them to get Salah. I can't go De Bruyne to Salah easily. I ditch Salah completely and just go Watkins to Darwin. And I go without Salah and I chase Darwin as an upside player.
Yeah, but Darwin is an option as well.
Really is. I'd love both of them. And I'm like, maybe I just go different and punt the fact that Salah might not produce the goods and go, I could go Luis Diaz and Darwin instead. Go both of them and go without Salah. Is Salah a must at the moment? I mean, he'll be captained by the world and their dog against Sheffield United, won't he?
This is what I want to check in this games today, because Brighton haven't been really good defensively, but Salah, I think, is a good option. And for those who can afford him easily, easy route to him, just a no-brainer. If you're thinking about Salah and Son, I think I would still go Salah. But you have to compromise somewhere. But it's really, really... I hate to say that, but it's really, really team-dependent. You have KDB in your team, so it's an easier route to Salah, knowing that you still have... 2 other city assets. And with Champions League back, we know De Bruyne will be rotated. This guy cannot play. He cannot play 90 minutes, 90 minutes in a week. So it's with Foden, he's more assured minutes wise. With Haaland, I think he's just a physical monster. I'm not sure he will be rotated because it's a business end of the season. They're in a title race. They're in a race to win the Champions League as well. 2 tough fixtures against Real Madrid, Arsenal fixture. So there's a lot of caveat to consider, but it's okay to plan ahead of 34, because Liverpool, we all want to triple up on that Liverpool team because they have a double and they seem to score for fun at the moment. But if there's no other way, you can just go with Luis Diaz. I'm not sure when Jota is coming back. I think he always comes back around the end of the season. So bear in mind, if it's game week 34 and Jota is back playing at least some minutes before it, I think Jota will be in many teams because we like the upside of him.
Yeah. If I go KDB to Salah, which everyone in the chat is going, you've got to do KDB to Salah. Obviously, if I could, I would. But you need a couple of million, right? So if I do that, fine. I do that, but then I've got to downgrade Watkins. So I've got to take a 4-point hit to get Salah, which is fine and was always the plan. My option one is to go KDB to Salah and downgrade a Son to a Havertz or whoever. Or it's the more likely scenario, let's be honest, but this is the template scenario, which I'm trying to avoid. It's De Bruyne to Salah and downgrade Watkins. It gives me 6.5 to spend on a forward. Now, with regret, all the forwards I really like in that 7 million bracket, so 7 to 8. So Isak, Darwin. You could even put Nico Jackson in that bracket if you like that sort of thing. Cunha's an option. Thank you, Freddie, for your suggestion in the chat there. I do like Cunha. He has a double in 34, remember. Mateta has a double in 34. And Muniz is a really good option, even without the double in 34. So I guess that the options... FPL Diamond says Haaland's not essential. You could just carry on with Salah, Saka, Son, Watkins and Solanke. I don't know. Let's talk about Haaland next week and see what he looks like today. I feel like Haaland probably for me is essential, but again, I appreciate those that might want to think outside the box. And yeah, I like that. Guys, make sure you're hitting the like button. Likes would be amazing this Sunday morning. We're streaming on Easter Sunday. And of course, subscribe to Scout. So Ali, if you were me, would you downgrade a Watkins or a Son? Watkins to a 6.5 or lower, or Son to a 8.5 or lower to get Salah in?
I think I'll be going with Watkins because if you downgrade him to Muniz, I think you have a great way to Salah. Yeah. And Muniz, he scored a bicycle kick yesterday. He's been, if you look at his recent games, it just is an absolute fire form. And I think Fulham, and we've discussed it in previous shows, that Fulham is one of those teams that don't have pressure on their shoulder. They just play for fun. And you could see that they were down yesterday. I think they were 3-0 or 3-1 down.
And 3-1,
they came back in the game. It was a fun game to watch. Not for the fans, of course, for neutrals, it was amazing. And the form that Muniz is, sometimes we ignore those players because they don't have double game week. But at the moment, I think he's just a good option. And downgrading Watkins, I was thinking to get rid of him last game week, but didn't really go for him. It's still, you know, there's 8 game weeks to go. And
yeah,
a lot could happen if you're going to go differential. Haaland is an option as well to get rid. I'm not planning on bringing Haaland anytime soon. Maybe on my wild card, if I see I get a lot of damage, I might wild card to get him in because I don't have an easy route to get back Haaland.
Yeah,
but Haaland, if I were you, I would definitely go for Watkins. But maybe consider if you have enough funds, maybe consider going to Isak and then De Bruyne to Salah, maybe.
No, I can't. That's the problem. I would love to go Darwin, and I can't. I can spend 6.5, and Darwin and Isak are that like million more. But whoever I replace Watkins with is going to be benched. Look at my 8 attackers. Like, they're going to be benched until an emergency or game week 34, which is why, as much as I love Muniz, it will be Cunha or Mateta, because I'm happy to bench Mateta for Bournemouth, Man City and Liverpool. And then in game week 34, the only week I need him, he has 2 home games against West Ham and Newcastle. So Mateta is, the for me, probably the standout option. He's playing 90 as well. He scored again yesterday. Palace now, without Roy Hodgson, actually are allowed to cross the halfway line and attack. So yeah, it will be annoying, but it will be whoever I replace him with for a 4-point hit is just going to be a bench player, because you're not benching players like Foden, Son, Palmer and Saka, and even Solanke much at all with those fixtures. But yeah, thank you all for your thoughts in the chat as well. Thank you, Ali. Appreciate yours. I think that'll be the route I take. Standout performances from yesterday, Ali. I think we probably should just discuss one or two of the games. Just to give you my 2 pence worth on Chelsea, because loads of backed Chelsea players, and look, annoying for those that went gusto. But Chelsea attackers, not just Palmer. Jackson missed, clocked like 0.65 XG. I saw in the scout members area earlier. Chelsea clocked over 4 XG. I know they were rubbish, and I know they are rubbish, but they're still a team that will score goals. And I don't mind a punt on a Chelsea attacker, even as well as Palmer. Mudryk looked good yesterday. I know it seems crazy. You don't need them to win games. You just need them to score goals. And Chelsea attack is looking good. I know they're playing against 10 men Burnley, and they're always going to look good. Outside of that, Spurs, we expected them to blow Luton away. And again, we've seen a late winner at Spurs. Are Spurs as good as we think, Ali, or have they just been a bit unfortunate with regards to the outcome? And then, as Discomfort says in the chat, from our members chat on from my channel. We've got to talk about Diaz as well from Sheffield United. So yeah, give me some input on Spurs. What's your take?
I think they're a little bit naive going forward and leaving the back open because they're literally any team can score against them. They're defensively they're not sound at all, but I think in attack they can score against anyone. They score for fun. They've been coming back in the games late, so it's the matter of if you have their attacking options, just keep them. It's not one or two is fine. I think Richarlison will be back in the score sheets as well. But defensively, I have Pedro Porro, and you cannot just rely on the attacking returns. And the clean sheets are not there. That's the reason why when you watch their games, Pedro Porro is always advanced. Udoji is always advanced, but like how many attacking returns they will have in 8 games? So the game goes, I think at the moment we're lacking good defenders. Maybe Arsenal and City, but City rotating a lot. The Gabriel and Saliba are just they're just the safest option. But with Spurs, I think if you're going with their attack, it's not a problem. Game week 34 is a blank. Leaving them out is not a problem at all. So it's whether, depending on your chip strategy, if you're planning to use your free hits in game week 34, might as well just keep them because they score against. But it's not the same team that we saw in the beginning of the season. They were scoring 3 or 4 a game. They were creating a lot more. I'm not sure what changed in their tactics, but I think it's a bit naive to go forward and expect to win every single game. They will lose points against the better oppositions, but for the likes of Luton, and I think it's easy to come back in that game.
Yeah. Sheffield United scored 3. Don't see that often at home. Diaz with a brace. He's listed as a midfielder. He's a very cheap midfielder. Let me have a look at his price. Obviously came in January. Yeah, he's 5 mil mid. Obviously got some pedigree. 18 points is huge, but I don't think we're going to be recommending buying Sheffield United players even as good as Diaz, because they're unpredictable and we don't see many wins. But they've also got rough fixtures. They play Liverpool, Chelsea, Brentford, and then they double in 34. When we look at the punts in 34, Ali, whether you're free hitting or dead ending your team, when you look at teams like Everton, good double game week. I mean, it's 2 home games. It's Forest and Liverpool. Oh, it's still a double, though. Sheffield United, Burnley play Burnley and Man United. Crystal Palace play West Ham and Newcastle at home. Wolves play Arsenal and Bournemouth, both home games. When we're looking at those teams, like Palace, Wolves, Everton, Sheffield United, do you see any punts in there you like? Like, we'll talk about it more as the weeks go on, but players you like from those 4?
I like Ait Nouri from Wolves.
Yeah.
I think he's by far the best player in the team at the moment. Form.
He's always proper attacking, and he's so high.
He always has a chance one-on-one every game, but sometimes he scores, sometimes he's missing the opportunities. I think he had a good chance yesterday one-on-one and he just missed it. And Ait Nouri is, I think, in any game he could score. He's very attacking. I like him as a player. He's been there, FPL drafts for a while now, because every time Wolves are in a good form, maybe having a good run, I think Ait Nouri is one of the players that we like. With the rest of the teams, I think there's not much to really talk about. Sheffield United, as you said, even if there is a player, I don't think we'll be considering any of them. Luton, I think we're just past that. Double game weeks are past, and I think maybe Fulham is a mid-table team. I wouldn't put them in the same bracket with Luton. That would be very, very disrespectful. I like the Fulham team. I think they're really, really good side. They can cause trouble to any of the teams in the top 6, top 8. So I think the game, double game of 34 will be on our minds, and we'll just naturally be going towards the doublers.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we will. And I think it'll be nice to have a couple of punts, because come game week 35 onwards, again, our teams will look quite similar. So being able to buy players from slightly weaker teams just because they're doubling 34 might give us a little bit of window of opportunity to differentiate and be fun. Ali, any final thoughts from you ahead of the deadline in well, 48, not far from 48 hours?
Let's look at my team. I think I'll be... Really, I want to get Arsenal players. Maybe it's Havertz or I think Madison is on the chopping block. I still like Son. So I think I'll be getting either Havertz or, depending on minutes today, but I think yeah. I'll be getting Havertz or maybe Odegaard.
Nice, like that. Thank you so much for watching in the chat. Happy Easter to everyone. We will be back next Sunday. I will be doing more vids, including a deadline stream on the Gianni Battista YouTube show on my channel. Scout will have, I think, Scoutcast on Monday, a few videos before the deadline on Tuesday. So make sure you're subscribing to Fantasy Football Scout. Go check out Ali on Twitter. Go check out my YouTube channel as well, which works alongside Scout. And yeah, I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you're listening on podcast, please do rate us. Give us the 5 stars. And if you fancy hitting that like button, then that's always appreciated too. We will see you next Sunday. Happy Easter. Enjoy a day full of whatever it is, whether you're going to church or you're doing an Easter egg hunt or you're just planning on watching Super Sunday. We've got some good football coming up. We will see you on the other side. Take care, guys. Goodbye.